The Veteran Services Division shall come to order. The clerk will note the roll. And if I could have someone move the minutes from February 27th, 2012.
So moved, Mr. Chairman.
Representative Davids moves the minutes for the committee meeting on February 27th. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, same sign. Minutes are approved. The vice chair of the committee has just arrived, so thank you. Thank you, Representative Creasa, for showing, but you're going to be taking over my spot here, so I'll move the chair and gavel over to you, and we'll proceed. Thank you.
Representative Anderson, Mr. Chair, if you would move your bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Yes, I'd like to move House File 2493 to be passed and recommended to the General Register on the floor. And just to do a quick summary, this bill would clarify that veterans with a complete and total disability rating of 30% or more get an absolute preference from hiring for state jobs, which is a classified service, as long as they're qualified for the job and no other candidates need to be interviewed. And I have a gentleman with me from the MDVA, Mike McElhaney, and let him testify on behalf of the bill for the department.
All right, thank you. Welcome to the committee. If you could state your name for the record.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. My name is Mike McElhaney, Legislative Director, MDVA. And I would just like to echo what Representative Anderson has stated. This is a bill which we believe will help and assist in the effort of employing veterans that are currently or potentially currently unemployed. What this bill does is it will create a new exemption within the HR practices, and I will tell you I'm not an expert in the HR, but within 43A there are some exceptions whereby different entities can bypass some of the current hiring practices. And so what this would do is if a veteran is a 30% disabled veteran, we believe that, at least in our agency, we have special knowledge of many veterans and many unemployed veterans. And what we'd like to do is to be able to create a mechanism where we can hire them directly without going through the competitive process if they meet all the current criteria and requirements for the position.
Thank you.
And Mr. Chair, that's the extent of the testimony. This actually is a department bill that was brought to us by the department. So if there are any questions from the committee, I will stand for opening questions.
Representative Anzelt.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Just a couple of questions. Is there something statutorily exact about the 30% service-connected disability? And if the answer is no, why would 30% be the number?
Mr. McKelly?
Mr. Chair. Representative, when we look to do these things, oftentimes we'll look at our federal VA and see how they're doing business when hiring disabled veterans and so forth. And in this particular case, Wisconsin has this same practice occurring currently, and they have chosen the 30% level, and it seems to be doing well in addressing the unemployed rates among veterans.
Representative Benson.
So, Mr. Chair, what I'm hearing is that we're using 30% because another state is using it. If our goal, and it's a good goal in the bill, and certainly appropriate, with the returning servicemen and women about to enter the labor force, wouldn't Wouldn't 20% be better? Wouldn't 5% be better? Wouldn't 18% be better? Why 30?
Mr. Chair, Representative, again, I would say that 30% is essentially an arbitrary number, but when calculating or determining how these ratings are dispersed, I would tell you that it's our estimate that 30% is such a level whereby most functions in state government could probably still be done easy enough. If we made it higher, then we could potentially be limiting the pool of veterans that could receive employment, and then if we go lower, then we're not really creating much of a preference. And so 30%, I will tell you, is somewhat of an arbitrary number, but it kind of meets a good center standard for where we would like to begin this process.
Follow up?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I think it's very appropriate that we have a preference. I just have trouble with an arbitrary number of 30%. And that begs the question about the collective bargaining agreement. Maybe some units, maybe some bargaining units within the state system would bargain for a percentage much better than 30%, much lower than 30%. Wouldn't it? I mean, it kind of depends upon what responsibilities, what government functions and services the members of the bargaining unit provide to the citizens. So wouldn't it be better to have a little flexibility and allow each bargaining unit to follow the legislature's intent? And shouldn't this be a negotiable item rather than an arbitrary and capricious number of 30%?
I'll add something to the whole 30% portion. That's a number that the Department of Defense has also used. If you're retiring because of medical reasons or retiring under 20 years and you are 30% or more permanently disabled, you're able to have certain benefits, TRICARE for life, medical benefits for your family. And so that's kind of the number, and I think that's where they're getting the number. So, again, Mr.
Chair and Representative Anzup, that is correct. In that regard, we do look at it as 30% is a good starting point, and it is somewhat of an arbitrary number. We wouldn't be beyond working with some of the other government agencies as well as the collective bargaining units to perhaps change the number. But this is just where we are beginning to start the process to address some of the veterans' unemployment rates.
Representative Anderson.
To that point, I think, Mr. Chair, Representative Anzup, I think that if we go forward with a starting point, that if we could get some other of the state agencies that would come forward saying we like a lower number, things like that, I think we would, the department, I'm sure, would be willing to work with that, and others, especially the vets, would be. So I think that if we use this as a starting point, because the federal level is there, and the state says, well, we'd love to do better, we'd like to go 20%, I think that we then can come back and do an amendment and say we feel that there's a great input from the state agencies who like the flexibility of going lower.
Representative Anzell.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I do feel better hearing that. I just don't want to, you know, rule out a better deal for veterans, potentially. And lastly, I heard the author say that this would go to the general register. Shouldn't it go to government ops or state government finance as well?
Apparently there's no fiscal cost. GovOps didn't want to see it, I guess, so.
And Mr.
All
Chair.
Right. Representative Anderson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And Representative Anzell, we did contact the other committees to find out if there was a concern about the cost or anything as far as process or things, and everybody seems to think that we can go right to the general register.
Representative Anzell.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair. I just thought because it has to do with state employees and bargaining units and collective bargaining that perhaps it ought to go for some further discussion to those folks. But if the decision's been made, it's been made.
Okay. Any other testifiers? Seeing none, anything else, Representative Anderson? Any further discussion? Okay. Would you renew your motion?
Mr. Chair, I'd like to renew my motion that House File 2493 be passed and be passed to the General Register.
Motion before us. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion prevails. Thank you.
The next bill on the calendar for is House File 2495. And Representative...
2494, Representative Anderson?
Oh, I'm sorry. 94. I was jumping the gun here.
Okay. All right. Go ahead.
Members, House File, I'd like to move that House File 2494 be recommended to pass and be passed to the General Register. I have with me Mr. Don Kerr to testify on behalf of the bill. The bill modifies existing state law by allowing the Minnesota National Guard to bestow service awards on non-members, and I'll let Mr. Kerr testify to more of what the bill is about.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Kerr. If you could state your name for the committee.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. My name is Don Kerr. I'm the Executive Director of the Department of Military Affairs, and I'm here to speak about this bill today. We see this as a housekeeping bill inside the agency. When the statute was originally written, it was just post-World War II, and I don't think that the legislature at the time foresaw the increased role that the National Guard would have working outside the borders of the state of Minnesota. And as such, we felt constrained in statute that we were not allowed to award, to present military awards to, in some cases, military members of other state National Guards who may be working with members of the 34th Division. And that's something that has come up often in the past. We have often exchanged officers and NCOs with Iowa, Wisconsin, and the Dakotas for short periods of time, either as attachments or in some cases even with assignment back and forth. And technically, the statute prevented us from bestowing upon those service members service awards for their service to the state of Minnesota when they left. Additionally, our international engagement that has grown over the last 35 years with Norway, Croatia, and other nations, we found it very appropriate to present state awards to members of these foreign militaries and also to civilians and technically even residents of Minnesota who are civilians who are supporting our efforts, as we've seen so much of in the last 10 years with our Beyond the Yellow Ribbon program. About 4 years ago, we started this initiative, and it was not pursued legislatively. Instead, we received an executive order from the governor that actually identified new awards that were then written into our circular. However, that executive authority has expired, though we feel we're still technically within statutory bounds to continue to present those awards to non-military members. Our lawyers decided it would be best if we did seek legislative approval to get this authority to make these presentations to non-military members and to members of other militaries.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative Anderson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I would like to concur with what Mr. Kerr had said. When I was working with the Minnesota Air National Guard, we had build-ups, especially the early part of the 90s, where we had worked with units that were from California, Iowa, and other areas that came in and worked with us to build up pallets of wheat going overseas, and we did some fantastic work hours and put out a lot of product in a short amount of time. And we were honored for that in a paper form, but nothing really in not that we weren't, but by our local unit, but those individuals outside the state didn't receive that recognition. So.
Any questions? Any other testifiers for this bill? Any testifiers opposed to the bill? Seeing none, Representative Anderson, if you would like to renew your motion.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. House File, I'd like to renew my motion that House File 2494 be recommended to pass and sent to the General Register.
All right. Discussion. Seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye. Aye. Opposed, nay. Motion prevails.
Oops. Thank you.
Carried away with that one. The next bill before us, House File 2495, Representative Anderson.
Mr. Chair,
you have an amendment?
Yes, Mr. Chair. Mr. Chair, I'd like to move House File 2495 be recommended to pass and sent to the General Register. And I have an amendment, but I'd like to have the gentleman from the department come and talk about the kind of the big picture of what the bill is about, and then move the amendment at a later time.
Okay. Welcome to the committee. If you could state your name for the record, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representatives, my name is Clint Bucher, spelled B-U-C-H-E-R. I serve in the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs as the Veterans Preference Officer. And it's my pleasure to be here today, first of all, to give an overview of the fundamental Minnesota Statute 197.46, and then briefly describe the intent of the proposed amendments. Minnesota Statute 197.46 was a right granted to veterans to ensure that there is due process before they are dismissed from public employment. Employers are able to dismiss after it is shown that there was incompetence or misconduct. Again, public employers have the right to dismiss, but have the responsibility to provide a hearing whereby incompetence or misconduct is shown. Initially, this bill was put together by the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs and presented, and then later we discovered there had been a state Supreme Court case and some other factors that needed to have it changed. But let's look at the fundamental, basically, right to a veteran's preference hearing. If a veteran is to be dismissed, the current law states that the employer must send a notice of intent to terminate, and in that notice, the employer must state that if you, veteran, wish to have a veteran's preference hearing, you, veteran, must respond to the employer within 60 days. And state that you want a veteran's preference hearing. And it requires the employer also to state that if you, veteran, do not respond, you lose that right. And we're very comfortable with that approach, but we have found that some veterans have responded and said they want a veteran's preference hearing, and although it's a few, some have not stepped forward when they're entitled to a three-person panel and name the panel member. In worst-case scenario, have basically drug the process out by not responding, meanwhile left the employer in an awkward situation. We feel that these proposed amendments ensures that there is a fair and reasonable timeline by which the veteran should be expected to respond. The intent of, there's two basically intents in this revised proposal. The first one is we would like to have the veteran to be responsible not only to respond within 60 days and request the veteran's preference hearing, but also when they respond in that 60 days, have the responsibility of naming who exactly they want to serve on their three-person panel, and to require the employer to make that requirement known to the veteran when they send out the notice of intent to terminate. And also then to remind the veteran, if that veteran does not respond and identify who the panel member is that they wish to serve on a three-person panel, then that veteran loses the right to a three-person panel. Again, they would have the same consistent 60-day period to respond. So that's request number one. We think that would ensure a fair and a reasonable timeline so that these concerns, if the person needs to be terminated, the process can continue. If the veteran is to be exonerated, that be made in a timely fashion. The second request we have for a change was brought about by a Minnesota State Supreme Court case, A as an alpha 10-0528, which found in this very law, Minnesota Statute 197.46, that existed, it's specifically stated in the original statute that existed since approximately 1975, that veterans had the right to appeal a decision made by the termination process. It did not speak to the employer having that right. although for years it was assumed that both had that right, and up until the state Supreme Court case, both parties functioned accordingly. But this state Supreme Court case, which was rendered July of 2011, found that only veterans had the right to appeal. The Department of Veterans Affairs feels the right to appeal should be granted both to the employer as well as the veteran. So that's the second request. That is primarily my information at this time. I'm available for questions if you wish to ask any.
Representative Van Zelt.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So if, say, for example, the veteran works for one of the 87 counties, and it happens to be a county that doesn't have the merit system or a civil service commission, where does the veteran get notification of what his rights are under your bill?
Mr. Buker.
Mr. Chairman, Representative, the original statute, 197.46, requires the employer to send the notice to the veteran stating, this is to inform you that we intend to terminate you. You have 60 days within to request a veteran's preference hearing, and if you do not request a veteran's preference hearing, you lose that right. That currently stands. That has stood since approximately 1975. We want to add one other tool, if you will, to expedite the process. We also want to require, in that notice of intent that the employer currently has, the requirement to state that the veteran must, in addition to notifying they want the veteran's preference hearing, they must state who the name, mailing address, and phone number of their representative on that panel is. The current statute that has a three-person board grants the right to the veteran to pick one representative, the employer to select the second representative, and those two must agree on the third. And if they're still dragging their feet, the current law enables a judge to step in after 10 days and say, no, this is going to be your third person.
Representative Van Zelt? Good. Okay. Any other questions for the testifier, for the author of the bill?
Mr. Chair, I'd like to move the amendment to the bill then, so that we get the bill in the way that we'd like to have it.
The A120703 amendment?
That's correct, Mr. Chair. And that'll put the bill in the way it's formed, and then we can have further testimony on the bill as it's been intended. And that'll be just basically what Mr. Buescher has said about the overview of what the intent is and where we're going with this, to help make it so that there's a reciprocity between both the veteran and the employer of the veteran to have the same rights as we thought was in law but isn't there right now.
Okay, questions about the amendment discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor of the amendment signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Amendment prevails.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you, committee.
Thank you. Okay. Representative Anderson, anything to add about the bill?
No, Mr. Chair, I'd like to move House File 2495 as amended be recommended and passed to the General Register.
Okay, Representative Ansel.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Sorry, I got your attention. I would be a little concerned that in situations where there isn't a collective bargaining agreement, the veteran is really at the mercy of the employer for notification as to what his or her rights are. But if you think that that's a concern, maybe we ought to address that. If you don't think it's a concern, then I guess I'm okay. But I've seen far too many situations in both the public and the private sector where workers, and in this case veterans, aren't appraised of what their rights are.
Anything to add?
Mr. Chair, Representative, actually there's some teeth. The 60 days within they must respond does not begin until the employer sends out that notice. In the interim, the veteran has continued to be entitled to pay and all benefits not only until the notice is served, but until the hearing takes place and is issued. Therefore, There is a state Supreme Court case of Young versus City of Duluth. It's been found that up until 6 years, if the veteran or the employer fails to notify the veteran, that veteran can go back and collect 6 years' worth of wages. So it's to the advantage of the employer to act in a responsible manner.
Okay, thank you. Anything to add, Representative Anderson?
Very good.
Okay, to the motion before us that House File 2495, as amended, would pass and be referred to the General Register. Any further discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion prevails. Thank you, Representative Anderson.
Thank you.
Next bill before us, House File 2629, Representative Anderson.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair. House File 2629 is a resolution to the U.S. Congress and the President of the United States memorializing to formally recognize Khmer freedom fighters during the Vietnam War. What the resolution does is ask U.S. Congress to acknowledge the role of the Khmer freedom fighters during the war in Cambodia. They provided support to U.S. troops in pilot and technology retrieval intelligence and assisted in the evacuation of the embassy at Phnom Penh April 12, 1975. And the gentleman that I have with me, Mr. Scott Walker, will be testifying on behalf, but there are other people who will be testifying. But he gave me some information that I was totally, I don't know if you've heard of these books or ever read the books. A book called A Blackjack 33 and Blackjack 34 by the author James C. Donahue, and it talks about the Khmer and their role in the Vietnam War and how they went after precious intelligence information that the President of the United States at that time, President Johnson, was aware of and needed to have done, and these individuals stepped forward and did a superb job in representing the United States of America and helping out the war effort at that time. And I'll just turn the most of the testimony over to Mr. Walker and to the people that have come from the Khmer. And I have to also mention that we, the one gentleman I was told, I didn't know until after this was introduced, that our former postal clerk here in the House of Representatives was also a member of the military who served as a Khmer freedom fighter. Mr. Song, and he, if he could be here today, he'd probably be chiming in and testifying on behalf of this. So I'll turn the testifier over to Mr. Scott Walker.
Thank you, Mr. Walker. I figured the room would be much more crowded if people knew that Scott Walker would be testifying in front of our committee. If you could state your name and title for the record, please.
Just for the record, that's both a blessing and a curse, depending on who you're talking to. So, having said that, we are deeply appreciative of your time this afternoon. My name is Scott Walker. I'm the executive director of the International Khmer Assembly, a reasonably new organization, 501c3. That's a fraternal organization that serves the Khmer community, not only here in Minnesota, but internationally. We have a number of chapters started in the United States. We're actively starting chapters in Europe as well as the Pacific Coast nations. One of our services to the community is we are in the process of recording oral history of not only the military but civilian experiences during the Khmer Rouge, life before Cambodia, and their immigration from Cambodia to the United States, and their assimilation here as well. As we were doing our recordings of the military aspects, by the way, we have 37 Khmer military members and sons and daughters here this afternoon as well. So they are very much interested in this resolution. We were became quite evident that the obviously these stories were horrific in nature. Some of them were very touching, but it became quite obvious that the Khmer really had a desire to be recognized by the United States for their role in supporting U.S. troops there and defending freedom and democracy in Southeast Asia. to my utter amazement, I did not realize that no legislative body in the past 30 or 40 years now has ever recognized their efforts. And as a consequence to this, it later came out that many of our Kamai do not participate in Memorial Day services or veteran services because they've never been recognized, officially been recognized by the United States government. They feel it is an imposition to participate in. Now, these are Americans. These are sworn Americans that are now naturalized citizens of the United States. But because of the fact that they have not yet received recognition, they still perceive themselves to some degree as refugees. This resolution solves that or remedies that. And so we're hoping, anyway, that you would take this seriously and vote affirmatively on this. And we would like to, with our other chapters in the United States, where we intend to do this in Texas and California and Washington State, and ultimately go to the United States Congress for official recognition. With that, I'd like to introduce Edward Kong, Brigade Commander of the Minnesota Detachment of Kamai Veterans.
Yeah.
Welcome to the committee, Mr. Kong.
Yeah, my name is Edward Kong. I came to the United States in 1981. I myself was a veteran during the Vietnam War there, and I was experienced fighting alongside with the United States for, you know, in the field, mostly in the south side of the capital, Phnom Penh there. You know, 1970 was the one who was very heavy attack toward my brigade and my division there, and I have experience knowing that many field was occupied by the North Vietnam Viet Cong troops. I had to struggle to fight side by side there, and I still alive until 1979. Be able to hiding in the jungle with five veterans there, and we tried to get into the refugee camp in 1980, and later on come to the United States in 1981. And many of them are with me today, and they live in a settle because the U.S. would not recognize who we are until today. That we, myself, I want to, you know, certify today to for all the Khmer veterans who still alive in the United States yeah, today.
Thank you for your testimony, Representative Anderson.
Mr. Chair, I'd like to have either Scott or his testifier just kind of, if we could, just recognize the individuals that are here in the audience, if that would be okay with you, Mr. Chair.
Absolutely.
Sure.
If you have that there.
List. Wonderful. Hun, would you please? Hun is the chairman of the International Khmer Assembly. He speaks fluent Khmer, and he can pronounce these names much better than I can, so I'm going to let him do this.
Welcome to the committee. If you could state your name for the record, please.
My name is Hun Hach, H-A-C-H, last name.
Okay.
Thank you.
Go ahead.
What we'd like to do is just name these names, if you would, and if you would stand up, and it would be as your name is called.
Major Sim Yen Mies, stand up. It's him. And Small Kut, stand up. And Chanta Wang. Chanta Wong. And Simon Sang. Nam Thuy. Hun Jeff Sok. Lien Nhit Chong. Riem Un. Sotiri Dun. Van Tha So, Van Tha Bo, Kun Thia Uk, Sarang Pang, seen someone hun Lisa Ok Sarai Ok Chen Ok Stephen Chan Samuel Hurun Lam Yan Chandra Q Piep Muk Chau Ron Vincent Moore Michael Touch Mert Mert Wang David Chen Richard Doss Sapon Kun
I want to thank you all for coming to our committee today, and thank you all for your service and everything you've done for us.
If you have any questions, I'd like to answer them. Otherwise, we encourage passage of House File 2629.
Okay, thank you. Any questions for any of the testifiers? Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
Mr. Chairman, it might be of some interest to know how many of their children have gone on and served in the American military, or grandchildren, or friends.
Absolutely. Would you be able to answer that, Mr. Walker?
Sure. The community here locally is about 8,000 strong. It's growing enormously. I don't have that number, but I know of many that are serving today. And they cherish America like I can't get believe. It's an absolute devotion to the United States.
Mr. Clear.
Mr. Chairman, could we just ask for a show of hands for families that have people serving in the American Armed Forces, the United States Armed Forces?
Amazing.
Wow. Look at that.
Thank you, Mr. Cleary.
That's fantastic.
Thank you, Mr. Walker.
That's great.
Any questions for the author of the bill? Oh, sorry. Any other testifiers for the bill? Welcome to the committee. If you could state your name for the record, please.
Yes, Mr. Chair, members of the committee, thank you. I'm Jean Lee, President and Executive Director of Children's Hope International, R&R Family Centers, and also for the Asian Pacific American Housing Consortium. One of our members is United Cambodian, and they have a number of people that they serve with you here today. I also wanted to call attention to some of the members two of the members from the Cambodian community who are recognized at the 35W Bridge Memorial, and they were in the bridge collapse. So just to call your attention, you know, that they are members of the community, and we are thankful that Minnesota recognizes them and honors them. And we thank you to Representative Anderson as far as giving recognition to this population who has done so much. This bill is also supported not only by our group, but I'm a liaison to the state's Council on Asian Pacific Minnesotans, and we've had a Cambodian representative on the board, so it has the full support not only of the board and the council, but the Asian community. Thank you.
Thank you. Other testifiers? Welcome to the committee. Mr. Dunne, if you could state your name for the committee.
My name is Ralph Dunne. I'm chairman of the United Veterans Legislative Council.
and I'm proud to say that I stand shoulder to shoulder with fellow veterans. If you look at that map that's coming around, a large portion of Vietnam, these folks protected our troops in South Vietnam, the southern part, by attacking those supply lines, by bringing our pilots back and doing the numerous things that they did at great risk, as many of them could probably testify to you today. Many of their families were wiped out because they supported the United States in South Vietnam. They paid the ultimate price, as does any service man or woman that gives their life for their country. They basically gave their life for our country and for our servicemen and women. So we are honored that you're recognizing them here today, and we'd like to see this bill go forward. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Any questions for the testifier? Seeing none, Representative Anderson, if you'd like to go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you, members of the committee, for allowing these gentlemen and ladies. In talking with Scott Walker before the committee, talked about it was just not the men that were a part of this, it was the women, too, and they played an integral part of serving us from a different angle in the war and behind scenes that we didn't even know had taken place. So, Mr. Chairman, committee members, I'd like to renew my motion that House File Number 2629, a resolution memorializing Congress and the President of the United States to formally recognize the Khmer Freedom Fighters, to be passed and sent to the General Register.
Any discussion to the bill? Seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Nay. Bill passes. Thank you, Chair Anderson. All right.
Representative Creasa, welcome to the committee. If you could move your House file, and we'll pass it on. It'll be going on to transportation, I believe.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'd like to move that House File 2619 pass and be sent to the Transportation Committee.
Representative Creasa moves that House File 2619 be passed and recommend a pass to the Department of Transportation. Go ahead with your testimony, Representative Creasa.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Members, what House File 2619 does is it allows members that have served in our military to have license plates specifying which branch that they were a part of. Many states besides Minnesota have done this. It's something I've seen across the country, and have received numerous emails from people asking why we don't do it or if we would consider creating these plates. I think it's a good idea. It's a nice way to honor our veterans, and so more than happy to carry the bill. So it's pretty simple. It would the applicant must pay a $10 fee per set of veterans plates and must also be in compliance with other applicable laws relating to vehicle registration and licensing. So it just simply creates new plates for Army, Marine Corps, Navy, Air Force, and Coast Guard, and they would just have that on their vehicle. So would stand for any questions.
Members, are there any questions for the author of House File 2619? If not, are there anybody from the audience that would like to testify on behalf to the bill, House File 2619? And I know that for some who are we're going to be on transportation, you'll have another shot at Representative Creasa. So, any other questions for the author of the bill, House File 2619? Representative Creasa, I know that in other deals, and I don't want to get into the finance because this was not a finance committee, but I know that in other bills for license plates that there was a larger amount of money that was required for that, and I don't know if you've heard anything about that or if this is something that you've this has come now forward that someone has recommended $10 as an amount, and I don't want to go. I just want to let you know that it's been recommended before.
Right. Thank you, Mr. Chair. The cost would be to create the license plate, and a similar bill last year that we passed was the female veteran license plates, if you'll recall those, and it's about $500 per plate to create those. And then the fee that the applicant would pay, I believe, would cover the actual plate itself. So the cost, there is a cost, but it is just to create. It's to do the artwork and figure out where the label would go and all of that.
Okay. Thank you. Any other questions or concerns? Representative Creason, would you go ahead and renew your motion?
Yes, Mr. Chair, I'd like to renew my motion that House File 2619 would pass and be sent to the Transportation Committee.
Representative Creason moves that House File 2619 be passed and sent to the Transportation Committee. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, same sign. Motion is passed.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members.
Thank you, Representative Creason. The last bill on our committee has been pulled. 2608 is not going to be heard today, so we are about at the end of this committee meeting. Just to let you know that we have one more committee hearing, and that will be next Monday, the 12th, and that's before the first deadline, March 16th. So, just to give you an idea where we're at in this the committee process. Any other questions or concerns that you might have for the good of the committee? Cause. Representative Purcell.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Have you approved the minutes of last 27th meeting?
Representative Purcell, yes, we have.
I'm sorry I was late. I was listed as absent. I had sought an excuse, and I'll have my L.A. work with you on that.
Okay, Representative Purcell, we'll duly note that notation and put that on for our next committee hearing. So,
thank you, Mr. Chair.
We'll correct it as you being present and not absent. So, if not, the Veterans Service Division Subdivision is adjourned. Thanks for coming, members.